Good morning. Please receive our scripture lesson from Daniel chapter 3. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, and advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the fire of the image he has set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "Nations and people of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the nations and people of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews who you have set over the affairs of province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, 'Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up?'"
Yes.
"Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I have made, very good. But if you do not worship me, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into a blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. He will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. His attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace to be 7 times harder than usual, and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into a blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into a blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent, and the furnace was so hot, that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into a blazing furnace. The king Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet with amazing, and asked his advisors, "Aren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into a fire?" They replied, "Certainly, your majesty."
Yes.
He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around the fire, unbound, unharmed. And the 4th looks like the son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angels and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own. Therefore, I decree that the people of any language or nation who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces, and their house be turned into piles of rubble. For no God can save in this way." Then the king prompted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon.
Amen. Let us now receive our benediction. We can go on home. Would you thank Legend Williams again for our reading? I meant to go straight into my sermon, but allow me the flexibility just to say to you that I took Legend and Messiah out a month ago or so to eat, and him and his twin brother joked around with me about my preacher voice, and then he began to mock me, but in a loving way. And then I saw a gift in him, and certainly you all have saw it today. And so I want to encourage you, Legend, and to your brother and sisters to continue to work and do the work of the Lord. That may seem quite formal of me to say it that way, but they begin to ask me theological questions and questions about faith. They ask me about how it is that they can go deeper in their walk with Christ and how they can bring their friends to Christ. And I stand amazed today, and literally, I don't think that there needs to be a sermon, even though I know that I would not be excused to do so. But I want to thank you again. Let us pray and then receive the word of our God. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the message that the Voices of Praise left with us, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And then we make the declaration that it won't work. God, we pray now that we would be reminded of that message in your word, and that we would receive the blessing, and that you, O God, would receive our worship. Bless this preaching time through Christ and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen. For our guests who are with us here this morning, our church is in a series, or rather in a theme, for this quarter of the year entitled Worship. And that's it. It is to simply say that we as a church and as a body of believers are concentrating on what it means to worship God. Last month, I read to you from the book of John and preached in this example of Christ's miracle where he took his hands. Do y'all remember that, Ebenezer? And he put them or placed them upon the man's eyes who had been blind. At the end of that story, the blind man began to worship in the same community that kind of started to mock him and question whether or not this really was the man. I thought I would continue in that same vein today to paint a picture instead of doing an exegetical type of sermon, and then I'll be done. In fact, it's 11:43. Let's end at about 12 o'clock. Thank you, Minister West. So, you have heard the reading today. I put on the robe on Youth and Young Adults Sunday just to bring the theatrics out a little bit. Because there is a king, and there are three Hebrew boys. Before we get there, let me literally, or should I say figuratively, set the stage for you. The stage, as we know it, Pastor Freeman alluded to it last month in his sermon when he said that we are not just mere spectators, but we are actors of worship. The stage that is set before us in the book of Daniel is that of a king, and the backdrop is of his kingdom. He wants to show all of the world, that is, this kingdom of Babylon is the seating throne, the literal power that exemplifies what it means to be ruler there in Babylon and in this city on this stage. You see the backdrop of gold. You see the backdrop of silver and all of its adornments. And entering from stage right is King Nebuchadnezzar. He walks onto the stage, and as he enters, he has some people with him. This is the actors, and we're going to call these people not our protagonists, but our antagonist. That is the persons and the people who are the evil ones in the story. Those who don't mean well at the beginning. And so walks from stage right our antagonist, King of Babylon, and he says, I want to, in my image, make a golden statue. I want to pause there because I don't have long. Let me just get it on out the way to say, do you realize that the image is not of any particular figure? Did you note that as legend read our scripture lesson that the king makes a golden image, but it's not like the time of Moses where there was a golden calf. It's not like the time of Jeremiah where the people begin to see this temple of God as a representation of him, and they built it so high that it is crushed down because of the Tower of Babel, right? We don't see that. We see an image that has no figure, or at least not described in the text. I would like to say to you today, this morning, that maybe the image was of his own ego. Maybe the image that he made was a picture of himself. Let me just drop this off parenthetically. Maybe we walk around building our images of self. Maybe we walk around, we put on our nice clothes, we go to school and get our education, we have nice jobs, we got all of the contacts, we know who's the who and everybody around, and perhaps that becomes our idol. Nebuchadnezzar makes an image, perhaps of himself, and as he builds, he and his advisors, all of the seat, this, what is it? The satrap, the satraps, and the what else? And the prefects and the governors and all, y'all remember, right? Over and over, this crew of antagonists out walks onto a stage, and they're flaunting themselves, and all of a sudden the orchestra begins to play, and they say, everyone must bow down to this golden image of King Nebuchadnezzar. And so the king issues the decree. The decree goes forward, and we see on this stage painted to all of us and to the rest of the world that there is a God, but it is a God made of man and his triflingness. The next part of the story, Act Two, if you would, brings to center stage the three Hebrew boys. You know them. For these same Hebrew boys, just a chapter before, had declared that they would not bow, they would not bend to the will of the king. In fact, you would think that King Nebuchadnezzar would already know better, because these men had refused to eat from the king's table. He had indoctrinated them. He had changed their name, but they remained loyal. And here now, they're brought to center stage because some haters began to say, well, these people are not following the will of our culture. These people will not bow to the images of things that they see on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter. These people will not bow down to the things that they see on Snapchat. No, they don't go out to the club and on Sixth Street like the rest of us. They think they're better. King, something ought to be done. And so King Nebuchadnezzar makes his way back onto the stage and he says, is it true? Not only is it true, but he tries to use his influence and he says, you still have time. That is what the world will do. You may not bend at alcohol. You may not bend at drugs. You may not bend at sex. I'm talking to our youth and young adults here. I know that you all are seasoned saints and y'all not tempted anything like that. Y'all look so nice in your little stoles and all. I get it. I get it. But there comes a time when people will ask you again, will you bend a knee? Will you do what I'm doing? It don't hurt. Try it. Come with me. Do it with me. Yeah, and so the king says it. And what is the response? No, I will not bend a knee. We will not bend a knee to this image of self. Instead, we worship the one true God. And we know that this one true God will deliver us. But if he doesn't, we still won't bend the knee. We still won't bow. We still won't worship the God that you have created, because we know that by human account and all human account, that anything made by human hand will fail. We rather stand on our principles. If I could have titled this another way, I would say that this message is simply that you must stand on your own conviction. You must stand knowing that you cannot bow to the will and ills of society. It is a message of not compromising. Not compromising your faith for a moment of fun. I heard in the movie, good fun, right? Yeah. And so this man, these men, these boys, these young men say, I will not bow. I will not bend a knee. So the king says, I have somewhere for you. In fact, it's a place of fire, this fiery furnace. I'm going to put you in the fire, and you're going to be killed. You know the story. The three Hebrew boys are placed in the furnace. In fact, the Bible says that they stumbled into the furnace because the men that sought to put them in were burned alive. They couldn't withstand the heat. I want to take that and make our own stage of worship this morning. Or make our stage for the worshipers. You do know, and I'm almost at my close. I told you I wouldn't be long this morning. I just wanted to retell the story. You do know that worship is a stage. Worship is a stage, and we are the actors. Every single day you wake up, you get on to your stage and act out your life. My question for you this morning is, what is the title of your stage play? What is the premise of your stage? What is the narration? What is the writing? What does it look like for you to live your life and act out what it means to be a Christian? Well, this morning, I want to ask you and leave you with that question, but part of the answer is already there. We must and will encounter people who do not look like us, who do not talk like us, who do not walk like us, and who are not Christian every single day. And it is our narrative that we do not change the play for somebody in the audience. And not only are we required to act and live out our place, sometimes when we walk onto that stage, it is of a roaring, burning fire. And sometimes, if you are not careful, you will be consumed by your own fire. You will be consumed by your own narration. You'll be consumed by the fire and the things that burn inside of you, passions that have nothing to do with God. And if we are not careful, we will be like those men who were pushed or fell in and burned alive. But if you do it well, you will end up like those in Acts 3. Where the fire doesn't burn you alive, but the fire is of the Holy Ghost. And this fire that is painted, this furnace that we walk in is not something to be feared, but something that refines us from the inside out. The fire that we seek as worshipers are fire, is fire from the holy and living God. That is what our church needs. We must embrace the fire of the Holy Ghost. We must be willing to walk into the furnace that shapes us and molds us and makes us better, because under that fire, under that conviction, the world will know who God is. So on our stage this morning, when people look into the fire, they examine the narration of your life, who will they see? For the three Hebrew boys, when they were placed into the fire, it was three of them. Some people begin to peek and look, and I'm sure they look back and said to themselves, I remember that there were three that marched this path. But when I look in, I see a fourth person. And it just so happens to look like, who is in your fire with you? Who do you have in your fire on your stage as you worship this morning? The question is, what does your worship look like, and who is your worship to? And if your fire burns, if your fire is of the Holy Spirit, it ought to look like the Son of the Living God. It ought to look like this Jesus who died for us. It ought to look like this God who sacrificed himself on Calvary's hill. And not only that, when your fire burns, When your worship is made known to the world, the way that you live, the way that you walk, the way that you talk, somebody ought to come saying, I want to know that man. Not only do I want to know him, but he must be the Son of God. It must be something in them. When we leave this place, what will people say about our worship? Will they say, did we worship the Spirit of the living God? Or will they say, those people look good? Those people pretend well, but I don't think they know who he is. No, because if you know who he is, and I'm done, if you know who God is, then you ought to know that you cannot sit quietly by and sit in our pews and sit in our classes and sit in our meetings and not be burned by Holy Ghost fire. That when we come into this place, it may not be about shouting, but something on the inside makes you get happy. Something on the inside makes you want to dance and shout. Something on the inside makes you want to walk around. Something on the inside is that of true worship. The worshiper's stage is made of fire. It is made of concrete faith. And it is made of our decision to lift high the name of Jesus Christ through praise. I'm not trying this morning, and I'm done. We can extend the invitation. I'm not trying to dissuade the way in which we worship or praise. I simply want us to be burned by fire. And whatever that fire makes you do, do it in his name. Don't worry about who's sitting around you. Don't worry about the people on your jobs. For our youth and young adults, don't worry about those and what they say at school. Live in that fire and let it burn. Let it burn. Let it burn. As we extend the invitation this morning, I simply pray that as you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you would also accept the Holy Spirit, that we would be transformed not by consuming fire, but refining fire. Somebody here wants to know that man. Somebody wants to be in relationship with that God. And we extend the invitations as our deacons, ushers, and greeters come, ministers. And we'd like to say to you today, you ought to know him. You ought to get to know him. When? Right now. Today. Just come. Would you stand as we extend our invitation? So
Good afternoon, Ebenezer, members and friends, and those online. We've come, one who's heard the message and responded to the call today.
Amen.
Praise God. Wants to have his life be on the right stage for Jesus Christ. His name is Wolfgang Burst, okay? Originally from Seguin, lives here in Austin, a former member of Grace Point Church, but Pastor wants to unite here with Ebenezer based on his Christian experience.
Amen. Blessings to you. You want to say a few words?
Again, my name is Wolfgang. I'm 22. I'm a sophomore at Austin Community College. Very nice to meet you all. God bless you.
Amen. Wolfgang, now listen, we was trying to figure out your name on the greeting card, but we didn't want to, so Marla just said, Brother Burst.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah. We're excited to have you with you. You're at Austin Community College in Seguin, Texas.
Oh, no, I'm from Seguin.
Where you used to be at Seguin, you're from Seguin, Texas. Y'all know where that is?
Also, I'm a member of the Texas Army National Guard, so anyone who's interested.
Blessings to you. Well, Ebenezer, we don't take a vote here. We just let the church say amen. We're so excited to have you. We want you to plug in here at Ebenezer and with our youth and our young adults. Make sure that you allow God to use your gifts fully and make sure that you allow the fire to burn for him, okay? Blessings to you. Ebenezer, let us thank God again for him.